Rounding out the first month of session this week, Senator, one of your bills, one of your priority bills for the year, was taken up on the floor very briefly on, I believe, Tuesday.
That's correct. We did go to it on Tuesday. Senate Bill 564 has to do with trying to upgrade and modernize our utility regulatory structure. The last real reform or changes in our regulatory environment was probably about 100 years ago. We've got virtually a 100-year-old regulatory environment, and we have a much more modernized grid and a different set of generation opportunities. Nowadays, we got solar, we have wind. Lots of things have changed. Along with that change, most states have upgraded and modernized their electric grid to accommodate those and to give customers much more control over their electric bills and so on. And of course, they've spent money on those. I think Florida spent something like $2 billion when they upgraded their system. In recent years, when they've had major disasters, that has really paid off for them because it allows those systems to be ramped back up very quickly and repaired much more cheaply with a lot less wasted man hours and wasted time and equipment than would otherwise be the case. But Missouri has simply not done that. We have not invested in our infrastructure. A lot of people are familiar with the roads, and it's received a lot of press about the infrastructure and roads and bridges, but we're talking now about the infrastructure for the delivery of electricity, and that's a critical element. Missouri has energy costs, which used to be some of the lowest in the nation, have risen four times faster than the national average across the country. We have risen 46.7% since 2007. The national average has increased about 11.2% over that same period of time. And of the 50 states, Missouri's costs have risen faster than all but three of those states. Our electricity rates, they no longer give us the kind of competitive advantage that we once had. Illinois, for example, that used to have electricity costs much higher than ours, now actually has costs lower than ours. And they modernized their regulatory environment and upgraded their grid some years ago. We're talking about putting in the kinds of elements in our grid that essentially represent the change from analog to digital operations. And most people understand what that means. Maybe not the younger generation, because all they've ever known was digital. But those of us that grew up with analog, and I guess the opportunities that you have once you go to a digital system where things can be done remotely, switches can be thrown remotely, you can identify breaks in a system remotely and send repair people directly to a problem rather than to send them out to try to find the problem. There are just a lot of things that can be done with a modernized grid that we can't do with the grid we have today. And I think that's probably the greatest motivating factor that we have to modernize our grid. The grid is currently being modernized to some degree, but it's mostly on a maintenance basis. When something breaks, the tendency is to put in the modern meter rather than the old meter, or replace a substation with an upgraded substation, if in fact it can be justified and the cost can be recovered. But we're not spending the kind of money on upgrading that grid that it would take to actually turn things around for Missourians and start bending a cost curve downward as opposed to continuing upward. In the last 10 years, we've seen increases, annual increases, of around 5.5% to 6% per year. The legislation that we took up on the floor this week would put a moratorium on it for 3 years. That says that the electric rates could not be changed for 3 years after the last time you've gone before the PSC and had a rate set. At the end of that three-year period, then there would be a cap of 3% per year. It would accrue during the three-year period, so there would be a possibility of increasing that rate 3% annual basis from the beginning of this new plan. It's called a PISA. Plant in Service Accounting is the name. If somebody wants to Google it and look up and see exactly what that means and how it changes the accounting mechanism and would apply it before the Public Service Commission, I believe that, and there's been significant testimony, if we were to change our regulatory environment, if we were to do something like this that would allow more money to go into the infrastructure, probably around $200 million a year additional would go into infrastructure, maybe more than that, considering the companies that would be involved. That would go into the economy, that would create jobs that were real jobs, construction type jobs that really are producing something valuable and profitable for the consumer, that we would see significant impact on bills in the future. That's what we've seen in Illinois. Since they changed their regulatory environment, they've seen 4 sequential reductions in energy costs. Much of those reductions, now they have a different system than we do, but much of the reduction has been because of the advantages they have with that modernized grid. So Senate Bill 564's purpose is to encourage modernization of the grid. The details really kind of boil down to how much is it going to cost and how does the Public Service Commission continue to have the kind of oversight where they can be assured and can assure consumers that the money that's being spent is going to that modernization and that it will in fact have a benefit to consumers down the road. We've made some recent changes to that just to make sure that that is clear and that the Public Service Commission has adequate oversight. And I'm hoping to get back to that bill next week and maybe pass it after maybe a few hours of debate.
Also this week was the annual address from the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
It was. Chief Justice Zell Fisher, I remember when Zell was first appointed during Governor Blunt's era. I'd never met Zell before. Judge Fisher, he came by and we visited for some time. I was in the Missouri House at the time and was impressed with his perspective on how the judiciary should operate and what the functional jurisdiction should be and et cetera. We didn't agree on everything, but there were a lot of agreement and I was pleased when he was appointed and confirmed at that time, and it's his turn to be Chief Justice. And so the Chief Justice annually gives us the State of the Judiciary Report, kind of update us on the things that he hopes to accomplish, the priorities. I was pleased with the direction that they're taking. They're acknowledging some of the difficulties that we have in Missouri relative to criminal justice and just how we deal with cases as well as how we address crime. And so he talked about the core functions of the judicial branch, which he used an interesting quote from Socrates. He said that only four things belong to a judge: to hear courteously, to answer wisely, to consider soberly, and to decide impartially. And that, to me, seemed like a really good foundation from which to evaluate and strengthen a judicial system. And so I just thought he had referenced a good spot there. And if he indeed uses those building blocks during his tenure as Chief Justice, I think we'll be pleased with what he has to say at the end of that tenure when he reports again. And so he also talked a little bit about the Justice Reinvestment Task Force, which is an acknowledgement that although crime across the country is going down, Missouri's is not. It's trending in the other direction. A task force has been set up. He's working with the legislature and with U.S. justice system and others to try to address what's going on in Missouri and what we can do to reduce crime and reach out. He acknowledged the treatment court success, but also the need for more treatment courts in the drug abuse arena. That's the opioid crisis. There's no one in Missouri that hasn't heard of that, doesn't know about it. Far too many have been affected by it. The judiciary is aware of it, and they're seeking to work with the other branches of government for us to find some kind of a solution, some kind of resolution to what's happening there with that opioid crisis. Probably the thing that I enjoyed the most was, as Judge Fisher was concluding, he talked about the impact that his family has had on his career. They talked about his mother and the influence that she's had on his life, the time that he's had with his father as his father worked with him throughout his career, actually, even was his bailiff while he was a circuit judge. That was just really good personal information from Judge Fisher, and you can tell that he was emotionally engaged as he shared about his family. One of the things that was kind of humorous, I think, for everybody was that he said his mother's first ride ever in the backseat of a police car was when the local sheriff brought her here from Northwest Missouri, where he grew up, so that she could be here for his first State of the Judiciary report. So I was pleased, as someone that I've known since his initial appointment and have really been encouraged by his service on the Missouri Supreme Court. I was very pleased, and I think everyone was, with his first State of the Judiciary report.